I want to get right into this message or this thought today, part two of The Atheist in Me. And for those of you that weren't here this morning, let me just briefly tell you that I challenged the church because of this father's plea. And I've been saying that phrase now several dozen times a day now since I've been studying this thought out. How he says, Lord, I believe, I do believe, I really believe you can do it. And Jesus makes the statement. He says, look, if you believe, if thou canst believe, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. I mean, anything is possible. This whole situation can be remedied if you just believe. And so the father, in desperation with his son's situation, says to him, Lord, I believe. He's saying, I really believe. But I love the statement that follows. Just in case, help thy mind unbelief. And I challenge the church, and I preach to myself. This evening's message is for everybody, though, how I preached about the atheist inside of Randy Dignan. How I believe in eternity just enough that me and my wife and kids are saved and my family members and people that I love, but not enough for lost people out there to get saved, right? And Brandon McNamer even said in Deaf Church, he goes, why I become an atheist when the Lord tells me to witness to somebody and I don't. I just became an atheist. I didn't believe. And it was just a good challenging thought. And how oftentimes as Christians, we allow our doubts to prevail over our faith. And I love what Briella posted today about how doubt your doubts and believe your beliefs. It's a simple statement. We should. A lot of times we switch that. We doubt our beliefs and we believe our doubts, and so we should be careful about that. But today I want to start this message off, first of all, and this is why I have Brielle up here, because she's going to help me interpret, because I want crowd participation on this one. If you look here, I want you to look at some of the key phrases that jump off the page to us in this context. So we just read the whole context. First of all, look at verse 18 with me real quickly. Verse 18, about halfway through the verse, you'll see this phrase here. And I spake to thy disciples. Thy disciples. So he's attaching these men to Jesus Christ. These are his known disciples. In fact, the Bible tells us that Jesus was not returning to these scribes and everything. The Bible says in verse 14, and when he came to his disciples, Jesus was actually going back to his disciples. They were parted for a while, and he's coming back. And the Father says, I spake to thy disciples. These are your men, the men you're training, that they should cast him out. Watch this now. And they could not. And they could not. All right, look at verse number 19, same chapter. Look at verse number 19. And he answereth and saith unto him, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. So after he sees that, after the challenge has been given, I mean, I want to be careful and respectful how I say this. Jesus is almost looking bad because the guy's actually saying, your disciples couldn't do this. So I'm bringing him to you now. And Jesus makes a statement, O faithless generation. All right. So the first thought tonight I have is this, the word expectations. Expectations. Now, here's what I love about the Lord Savior, Jesus Christ. Everywhere Jesus went, whatever expectations people had of him, they were fulfilled. The Roman centurion, if I can just get to Jesus, I know he can heal my servant. And Jesus makes a statement, I'm not seeing no great faith in all of Israel, right? He had an expectation that Jesus could do it, and Jesus did it, right? There's the woman who, with the issue of blood, she says, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, there was an expectation. She completely believed, if I can just get to that garment, if I can just get that hem, if I can just get that close to Jesus, he's going to completely heal me. And her expectation was met. And as I was thinking about the expectations, that word expectation is the first thought here. I have a question for the church tonight. So let's look at verse 14. Verse 14, watch this. And when he came to his disciples, he saw, look at this, a great multitude about them. So there's a big crowd of people here and the scribes questioning with him. So there's disciples there, a great multitude, good chance a lot of lost people. Scribes are there, and they're all questioning each other. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. I love that. Oh, Jesus is here. They're supposed to, hey, he's coming right now. These are the disciples. He's coming. He's coming to them. He walks into their midst, and he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? What are you talking about? What are you questioning them about? And so here's my question today, okay? Expectations. We know when you have expectations of Jesus Christ, they're never going to fail, right? The Gospels prove that. Thank the Lord for that. But have you ever been asked this question today? What does the world, the lost world, expect from you and me tonight? What is their expectation? Have you ever thought about that? I'm going to let you think about it for a second, and I'm going to ask you to answer that question. Maybe we'll get some different answers tonight, figure it out. What does the lost world expect from a Christian? First of all, notice this tonight real quickly. Somebody should know you're a Christian besides your family members. Somebody should know that. If your family is the only one knows that you're saved and serving the Lord, see me at the church. We'll talk about that a little bit, right? On social media, people should know you're a Christian. At work, people should know you're a Christian. There should be something about your life that shows the world you're a Christian. I think a lot of times it's in our kindness and our spirit and our countenance. So what does the world expect from us? This world had an expectation, and they came to the disciples of Jesus Christ, and the disciples failed them. Now, hey, don't get me wrong. There's still hope, because the disciples are going to learn to pray, help thy mind unbelief. And guess what? The whole book of Acts, these disciples are going to turn the world upside down, and they're going to be healing people by the droves and doing miracles upon miracles. And the greatest miracle of all is the salvation of a soul, right? But have you ever thought about that? What does the world expect from us tonight? When you go to your workplace tomorrow, when you go out in the world today, what does the world expect from the Christian? Anybody? Yes, sir, Brother Street. Clean of speech. That's a powerful truth. Yeah, your speech should make you different. Remember when Peter was caught by the fire? They even said it's something about his speech. So he started cussing. And like, oh, I guess he's not one of them. That's a great point, Brother Street. True. It's just true. Yes, sir, Brother Hugh. Prayer when you have a need. Yeah, simple things like praying before you eat. Yeah. No, yep. Oh, praying in their time of need. Oh, I was thinking about food. That's good to pray before your food, too. Prayer for their time of need. That's even better. You went more spiritual than me. That's a good one, Brother Hugh. Thank you. I am going deaf. Runs in the family. That's a really good one, Brother Hugh. Thank you. Yes, Brother Rick. Joyful countenance. That's one of my favorites. Absolutely. Absolutely. Great one. Yes, Miss Missy. They do expect perfection. Yeah, which isn't a bad thing. It's accountability. I mean, they do. And then, you know, it's an opportunity when we fail to teach them, hey, we messed up. We made a mistake. But, yeah, we should live by a higher standard. Yes, sir, Brother Bedwell. Personal integrity. Spoken well by a man in uniform doing drill today. I appreciate that. Personal integrity is a big one. That's a really good one. And people are watching for that. Boy, and by the way, in a generation where personal integrity has become so absent, it's a breath of fresh air when someone has personal integrity. It really is. Who else? Yes, sir. How often you pray? That's a good one. I love it when our young people speak up. How often you pray? Paulette? The difference in the way your outward appearance. I know people say all the time, well, man looks on the outward appearance, God looks on the heart. That's so true. And I love how they use that to disprove that, but they also are actually proving it, because you're right. That's a good point. We should look different than the world. Yes, Miss Brittany. Your influence. That's so true. Influence. The influence we portray. We should be an influencer instead of being influenced. So easily we try to conform to them, right? And we should still be able to be different. That's good. Those are all really good answers. By the way, the world still has some of those expectations. You'll be amazed how many times I'm around somebody I met for the first time, and they begin to swear, and then they say, what do you do for a living? Whether I'm getting a haircut, or I'm at a gym somewhere, or I'm at a gas station somewhere in a public place, and they say, what do you do? I said, I'm a pastor. Oh, man, pastor, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cuss. Oh, that's all right, you know, I understand, you know. I said, I cuss the devil every once in a while. Oh, that's good, and we, you know, give him a track, whatever, right? I do cuss the devil every once in a while. He needs it. All right, who else? I saw a hand over here. I saw, was that a young person? No? That's a really good one. Who else? Yes, sir. Who? Who? Oh, passion. Oh, I love that one. Yes. Passion. That's a good one. I like. Oh, compassion. That one too. It's really getting bad, isn't it, Brother Davis? It's getting really bad. Thank you. Both of them are good, but compassion is better than passion. Yes. Thank you. Yes, Dad. Yeah, a cheerful countenance, a positive spirit, respecting people, and being a supportive person, you know, keeping things positive. Yeah, I agree. Yes, sir, Mikey. A willingness to help people. That's a really good one that has been attributed to Christianity, which is why America is one of the first countries to go when there's a problem around the world, right? That's the Christian spirit. People say what they want, but that's a Christian spirit. That's why we do that. That's great, Mike. Yes, sir, Eric. Type of music you listen to can make a big difference, yeah. If you listen to heavy metal, some people might look at you funny, right? Yeah, I agree. Yes, Miss Lydia. Dependability. You did say dependability, right? Okay, I just want to make sure. I'm struggling tonight. Dependability. These are great. These are really good. So okay, baby, I'm done. Thank you. So let me tell you what they're not expecting. I don't think they expect us to be fighting with each other. I don't think they'd be expect us to be. Can I just throw something out here to help us all out? We should not be fighting with people that we're going to spend eternity in heaven with, right? Well, that challenged me several years ago when I began having a social media presence. I thought the world is watching what I'm posting, what I'm saying, and I do not want to be one that is critical of other Christians and other brothers and sisters, because that's what can happen here. That's what's happening. The scribes are like, oh, we got them now. The disciples are failing. This is good. And that's why Jesus went right to the scribes and says, hey, what question are you with them? Because we understand that the scribes and Pharisees were having issues with Jesus Christ. In fact, in John chapter 7, it was the scribes that sent the officers to arrest Jesus Christ. The theme of my book that I wrote, that verse, that theme verse there, where it says, no, never man spake like this man, Jesus Christ, speaking of him. And in that thought, in that expectations category here, we have got to understand that the world is watching us. And listen, they watch us more than we give them credit for. They really do. Our neighbors are watching us. They see you Sunday morning, Sunday night with your car, leaving your house once again to go to church. They see that testimony. They see things. They see just a difference. The world notices it. You say, how do you know? Watch this now. Because I was in the world for 18 years. And I knew there was a difference between real Christians and not real Christians. How did you know that? Because I went to churches all my life with not real Christians. And I finally started meeting some genuine Christians, and boy, they were the ones that changed my life. My aunt and uncle, I testify about them a lot, but there were others that I came in contact with, and they began to fulfill the expectations that I had for them. The expectations, church. And understand that tonight, you and me, we should take that as a good challenge. Brother Busty's our head coach of our basketball team. Miss Jennifer's the head coach of our volleyball team. They have expectations from their players. The word expectations is still a good word. They're supposed to be at practice at a certain time. They're supposed to work. They're supposed to listen to their coaches while they're on the participation on the field. Hey, we at work in the workplace, right? Those of you at work, you have a boss who has given you a list of expectations. If you don't consistently do those expectations, what happens? You may have to find a new boss, meaning you're going to be gone, right? And the point I'm trying to make is simply this tonight. As the world continues to gaze upon Christianity, as we get closer to the end, the stage is being set, and God is allowing us to be on center stage now. We have the opportunity to show this world, ready? I believe God, as they just sang. All right, so number one, think about expectations from this passage. The atheist in me struggles with that. Because I let fear overcome and I become the atheist again. I let doubt overcome and I become the atheist again. Number two, notice this phrase that pops out in this passage. They could not. They could not. Verse number 17 again. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son who hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. They could not. Now, there's a lot of truth to that passage, really, because without Jesus, we can't. Without Jesus Christ, we can't do these things. And these disciples are going to learn as they continue to grow. And let me tell you something, as a preacher and as a Christian for many years now, I know what it's like to be put on the spot, to fail expectations, because I could not exercise the faith I should have exercised. I failed my Savior, I failed my God, and I failed the world and their expectations. And this passage here, this is so vital because listen, church, the world out there is hurting and they're running everywhere for help. We know, we already mentioned the story of the woman who had, with the issue of blood. She had been to doctors and spent all her living, the Bible says. She'd been searching and searching and searching for help everywhere else. And listen, the world right now is getting desperate. They're seeking for answers. And our government's not going to give them the answers. Alcohol's not going to give them the answers. Drugs not going to give them the answers. All the world's escapes and their so-called temporary fulfillments are not going to give them the answers. But thank God Jesus Christ still gives the answer today. The church could not. The disciples could not. The Christians could not. Why? Because we continuity not. Continuity is a beautiful exercise of faith flowing through us, through our lives, through our families, through our churches. As I mentioned this morning, the beautiful picture of electricity flipping on that switch, electricity runs through those wires and turns the light on once again. And the plumbing for the hot water and the shower and all the blessings we take for granted, right? All those things, continuity, all it takes is one bad wire, one bad pipe, and things are disrupted. And in the church today, we have failed expectations because we're at a point where we cannot. And the world now is asking questions. Look at Mark chapter 9, verse 16. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? Number three, the world has questions now. You see, when I was lost, when I wasn't saved, I had some questions. If you look here in verse number 19, he answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And watch this now. When I was lost, I had questions. I remember being a little boy and asking somebody how to go to heaven someday. And my mom and dad had told me I'd been sprinkled as a baby. You've heard my story. I got baptized three different times growing up. You think I just baptized because I got up one morning and wanted to get baptized? No, I was told to get baptized. Somebody in a spiritual leadership position convinced me to get baptized. They told me, this is a good thing for you to get baptized. And I trusted them, even though I had questions. And can I tell you the truth? When there was a lot of hoopla and excitement and energy and some celebration because I got baptized, I left the church that day empty as I was before with still more questions. And maybe sometimes in your life, if you've never asked those questions, you don't appreciate as much as I probably do. I can remember asking those questions. Would somebody please answer my question? And Jesus comes to the scribes and says, what question are you with them? What questions do you have for them? What are you asking them? Questioning. And the world's full of questions, right? Is the end of the world coming? Boy, that's talked about all the time. Have you been paying attention to the metaverse? If you don't know what I'm talking about, check it out. Cyber world is changing, man. February 2022 is going to be a big month. Preacher, you're talking crazy. Am I? Google it. Have you heard of NFTs and the digital world and what's coming? We say, oh, that's crazy stuff. Really? Nike's getting involved. Facebook's involved. Well-known companies are coming on board. The world is changing so fast, and people have questions, and they're asking questions. And I can remember asking questions saying, somebody tell me the answer. In fact, today, if I ask a question, can somebody tell us an honest answer about what's really going on with COVID? Nobody can answer that question right now. Dr. Fauci's not answering that question. President Biden's not answering that question. I'll be fair. Trump didn't answer that question even as much as I would like him to. Nobody's answering that question. Questions and questions and quenches. So tonight, number four, and I'll close with this. Thank God, in the midst of all these questions, when you kind of break it down to one category of religion, there is still an answer tonight. There's still an answer. And his name is Jesus Christ. He's still the answer. I think the reason I love this passage so much is because you see a beautiful microcosm of the world. You have religious leaders, scribes. You have Christians in training, the disciples. You have the multitude. And then you have a father who's in great need. And you have the child who's in desperate need of help. It's a picture of the world today. And they're all in a big turmoil. There's discussion. There's asking questions. There's some shock. There's some surprise. Why can't you help this boy? You're a disciple. You're one of Jesus Christ. And Jesus shows up. And guess what? The demons, the boy's demons doesn't leave him. And the dad doesn't get peace. And he doesn't get his faith answered. And he doesn't get his request granted to him until Jesus shows up. Can I say tonight in 2022, the second Sunday of 2022, Jesus is still the answer when Jesus shows up. And we are the Christians that live out the world's expectations and showing this world that he is the answer. He is our hope. He is everything. Hey, he can't take care of the demons of our life. He can't answer the questions about faith. He is everything today. Jesus is the answer to all our questions tonight. He's the answer. You see, Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said to them, If thou canst believe all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I love that. He acknowledges it. Lord, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Wow. What a powerful statement. And it isn't until there's a period after help thou mine unbelief that a son is healed. I think sometimes as Christians, we're not willing to acknowledge that we are short of Christ. And it's when we realize that there's a huge gap between what I can do and what He can finish, we're missing out on those miracles. And this passage is a beautiful story. And that's because the atheist in me stands up again, speaks out, and challenges my beliefs, and I back away once again. Oh, but the disciples are going to learn it. Busty, the disciples are going to learn it. They're going to get a hold of this as time goes. And then when the Holy Spirit empowers them, oh my goodness, they're going to believe it so much so they're willing to die for it. They're willing to turn the whole world upside down for it. They're willing to sacrifice everything for it because they learned the principle of, hey, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And boom, continuity was put in motion. What a beautiful passage. Tonight, church, I want to challenge all of us to understand and recognize that the world is watching us. And boy, they have a lot of questions. And we sometimes get a little discouraged because we feel like we are in that category of they could not, we could not. Hey, He's still the answer in that church. He's still the answer. And all of us as Christians should never be ashamed to say, Lord, listen to me. As sincere as my heart is tonight, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening so well.
Child. Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears. They laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise, oh Lord, oh Lord our God.
Then on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise, oh Lord, oh Lord our God.
We shall return of white, the blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise.